be thou exalted. We need to always exalt him. He said, if I be lifted up, not if the church be lifted up, not if man be lifted up, but if I, talking about himself, he'd draw all men. Well, praise the Lord. Well, as we've said already, today we begin a month of celebrating 30 years of following God as a congregation called the Rhema Bible Church. It all began October the 20th, 1985. With a vision from God, because I did not intend to be a pastor. I was associate pastor for 6 years, and then I came and I was traveling minister for all those years from 1972, I guess, until 85. And we started the school, and I was running the school and traveling on the weekends, and then we'd travel all summer. We'd leave here as soon as schools was out. I'd load the kids up in Lynette, and we'd all load up in the van, and here we'd go. And I didn't intend to, and finally, the Lord began to give me a vision for the church. And he began to remind me that when I was in Bible school, 18, 19 years old, I'd be praying, and I'd pray, well, Lord, if I ever had a church, and I'd tell people if I ever had a church, I'd do these things. And so he began to deal with us, and so the church started. Actually, on that Sunday, I spoke on vision and commitment. Would all of you that are here that was in that first service in 1985, would y'all all stand, please? All of you stand up. I'm trying to see who's who here. There's several of them still here. Praise the Lord. We got some up in the balcony. You may be seated. Thank you. I was looking for Harold Pillars. He was here. He and Lisa and their family was here. And I want to thank all of you that are still here for your commitment to God and the Rhema Bible Church. Now, 30 years later, we look ahead to what is in front of us, and we say the future is bright. Now, I want all of you young adults, kids, teenagers that have been raised up in this church. I mean, some of you were born here. Some of you came when you were teenagers. Some came when you were... All of you, I want all of you to stand up. All the young adults, all of the teenagers, all of the... children that were that have come up in this church. See, the future is bright, people. The future is bright. We still don't have the choir in here. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, on the first Sunday of our month of celebration, the title of my message is Vision Plus Commitment Equals Results. Taken from the notes of that first sermon that I preached on October the 20th, 1985. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. That's the old King James Version. The new King James says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What is vision? Well, somebody will say it's the power to see. Another person might say it's a sense of sight. Someone else can say the power to perceive by imagining. Another one would say vision is dreaming or having a dream. Another person would say it's a supernatural revelation from the Lord. And of course, all those are correct answers. You know, around this time of the year, it used to be, now some of them come out earlier, but October used to be the month that all the new cars would start to come out. How many of you remember that everybody looked forward to October because that's when all the new cars would come out? How many of y'all remember that? I mean, we would go to the Texas State Fair, which is still the biggest state fair in the world. That's the only one they have. They have one state fair here in Oklahoma. They got all kinds of state fairs, but there we got one. And you'd go to look at the new cars. And you know, there wouldn't be any of those new cars available if someone in the engineering department did not first have a vision in their head of what that car was going to look like. And there is no progress without vision, both naturally and spiritually. Now, with vision, we have to add commitment, because vision is no good if you're not committed to make it happen. So what is commitment then? It is a pledge. It is a promise. It means that you do whatever is necessary to accomplish the job. If the slogan at Rhema Bible Church is "The future is bright," then each of us must hook up with the vision of Rhema Bible Church and commit to that vision, to making it happen. Hello, you there? You gone home already on me? What have I got in my hand? My Bible. Hey, everybody's got your Bible, hold it up. If you don't have your Bible, if you got it on your iPad, hold it up. If you got it on your iPhone, hold it up, or your Android, whatever you got it on. All right? Now, hold it out in front of you. I want you to look at it. You understand this is God's vision put into words for us, for mankind. And if it's going to happen, we have to be committed to it. That means we do whatever is necessary to make the Word of God become effective in our lives. Is that correct or not correct? So, we have the body of Christ, called the Ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have the local body called a church, which is a part of the Ecclesia, or the called out ones, or as we call it in theology, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This local church body is simply a part of the big worldwide church body. Now, we as a local body don't have anything to do with all of the other local churches that all make up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is our responsibility to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Ecclesia, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our responsibility as the local body is committed to the vision that God has given to us as a local church to make it happen. You know, if you talk without taking actions, people are just begin to say, well, they're just a dreamer. Dreamers usually don't amount to much unless they put an ingredient with that dream or vision that's called intestinal fortitude. Or where I come from in Texas, they call it guts to get the job done. Hello? A dreamer who has a great idea but no commitment, the dream or the vision will never happen. Do you realize that? There are hundreds, maybe even millions of people in the world today that have dreamed dreams about something, but it has never come into reality because they were not committed to do what it took to make it happen. Do you realize that there are hundreds of athletes walking around that, as far as talent wise, they have more talent than people that are playing in the pros today? But they never had the commitment to make it happen. In fact, you see some of these guys come out of college and go into baseball, basketball, football, and they only last a year or two. And everybody talks about how talented they are, but they're not committed to do the training and everything that is necessary to make it happen. Let me understand where I'm coming from. You know, there's a couple of guys by the name of Orville and Wilbur Wright. They said, we can fly. We can build an apparatus that we call an airplane, and it will fly. Everybody said, that's silly. It can't be done. But they said, we know better. They had a vision. They had a dream of an airplane, and they made it work. Today, we have modern aviation. And in fact, in just a couple hours, I'll be on a plane with a lot of the crusade team flying to Massachusetts to preach tonight in a crusade. Now, they worked hard and they built that thing. Now, it didn't fly but about 60 to 90 feet, and it wasn't very high off the ground, but it flew. And today, we'll get in that plane. We'll take off at the Tulsa International Airport. And in a few minutes, when we burn off enough fuel, we'll be up to 35,000 feet. Or 37,000. I don't know what altitude they're going to be flying at today. I didn't ask them. We can go if necessary. Our plane is registered to go to 41,000. How high have you been in that F-16? 51,000. Here it is, Colonel Morning over here. He's an F-16 fighter pilot. And he's retired from the Air Force. Yeah, that thing, he flew 10,000 more feet higher than us, 51,000 feet in that thing. Hello now. You see, but because two guys had a vision of an airplane and they built this contraption that everybody said it wouldn't fly. In fact, people came out to see it crash, but it didn't. It flew. And today, how many of you travel all around because of airplanes? Let me see your hand. How many of you travel on airplanes? Put your hands up. See, you travel today on that because these guys had a vision and then they were committed to make it happen. Did the first one fly? Well, not really. They had some disappointments. We have lights in here today because a guy by the name of Thomas Edison had a vision of having something besides a candle or a kerosene lamp. And he had, I don't know how many failures, but he had a vision. And he was committed to it until he found something that would, a filament that would work. And we have lights today. You see, vision with plus commitment equal results. Turn to your neighbor and say, vision plus commitment equal results. We had a vision of Rhema Bible Church, and I stood in that auditorium over there, the RMA now, and told the people about it. And here we are today in this auditorium because of vision and commitment of people. The leader has to be as committed to it as anybody. Looking back does two things. Looking back does two things. It either stops progress or it encourages progress. And I used to hear people when I was growing up as a kid, and sometimes you still hear it, people talking about the good old days and so forth and so on, and they didn't have half of what they have. And I thought, how in the world can that be good old days? You got so much more now than you had then. How can it be the good old days? You know, you can't proceed forward successfully while you're looking behind you. Don't do this, but if you got in your car and you pulled out into that street out there and you're driving, looking in your rearview mirror, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to go off to the side somewhere, you're going to hit something, and you're going to crash and burn. Hello? You have to have your vision, and we have to realize we had vision, but this is not a time to look back and let it stop our progress. It's a time to realize that the future is bright as we follow more vision that God has given to us. Lot and his family were given a vision by the angels to get out of Sodom. Don't look back, they said. Well, none of them did, except Lot's wife. She looked back and she's still standing there. You know, when you hear people talk about how it used to be and what we used to do, that stops progress. You can't go forward talking about how we used to do it and what we used to do. Thank God for that. It was good for that time. And it got us to where we are right now. But that is not going to get us to the future. When I was associate pastor with my father-in-law down in Garland, Texas, there's some people that moved away from Garland, moved away from my church. They moved to another city, and they'd come back for a visit, and all they could talk about, oh, man, I'm so glad to be back in Garland. I'm so glad to be back here. And the people at the other city said all they could talk about was how good it was in Garland. They finally did move back to Garland. They hadn't been there a month, and they started talking about how good it was in the other city. If you're going to go into the future, you got to leave the past behind. Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, whatever. You got to leave the past behind. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13, last clause, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Paul had to forget a lot. I won't tell you that. Read his life story. He had to forget all of his failures. He had to forget how many Christians he had killed. Paul had to forget about that he was beat up, put in jail, left for dead, shipwrecked. Now, that's all the bad things. But wait a minute. Paul also had to forget all of his successes and accomplishments. If you study, and as I've studied it, they say that the church he established in Ephesus had somewhere between 20 and 40,000 members. And we talk about mega churches today. Paul had the first ones. But he had to forget all about that. What do we have to do with the past? Learn from it, be encouraged from it, and move on. Knowing that God can do the same thing again as we move forward. Somebody said, well, I don't know, I can't see it. If God did great things in the past, he can do great things today. If God did mighty things back there, he can do mighty things in the future. Be encouraged, the future is bright. Now, if we're going to go to the future, our focus has to stay on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As we follow our vision, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the vision giver, and he's the one that will help us to see where we're to go. You know, we used to sing a song and still do occasionally. Turn your eyes up on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, many people say, well, I don't have a vision. If you read the word of God, you'll get one. God doesn't have to give you a special vision. He's already told you. He's already given it to you in the word of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Period. You know, I was told about a guy, an elderly man in his late 70s. He was in India for many years. He said, I never had a special call or special vision of India. I just read in the Bible one day where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I happened to see that there was a need for a preacher. So I hooked up with that vision and went and did the work. Spiritually, you don't have to have a supernatural visitation from the Lord to know what you need to do from God. He's already got it right here. You know, sometimes the Lord may not just give you a special vision for you, but he may give you a vision to hook up with a local church. And as you hook up with our vision here at the church, all of us, see, I'm not the church. We're the church, all of us. Now, there's some of us in the church that have different positions, but we're all the church. Just like I was in the service, in the Army. Colonel here was in the Air Force. And there's others here that were in other branches of service. We were all in the service of the United States of America. But we all had different ranks and different positions. Hello? We're the church. You, me, all of us are Rhema Bible Church. All of us may have different positions, different things that we do. Each of us bring different talents to the church. When I went into the Army, they give me a battery of tests, and they said, listen, you could do this. We would like for you, when I joined the Army, we would like for you to be in the Army Security Agency. You have what we need here. So that's where I went. Hello. You see, hook up with our vision. We are Rhema Bible Church. Me. Now point to your neighbor. You. All of us are Rhema Bible Church. When we hook up together with the vision and commit ourselves to it with our talents, we will accomplish the vision. The future is bright. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you, you can look at difficulty. Most of the time, anytime anybody starts talking about vision and commitment, everybody starts looking at difficulties. No, we got to look past the difficulties and see the vision that God has given us to accomplish. Peter had a vision of walking on water, and he jumped out there and did it. Hello? The reason that some churches go under is because they quit looking at the vision and just start looking at the problems. Problems exist, people. They're going to exist in your life. They're going to exist in our church life. Problems are going to exist in the spiritual life, and you have to overcome all of them. The Word of God tells you how to do it. Problems exist in the church, but Jesus is bigger than the difficulty. Jesus is bigger than the problems because he gives you a vision that God gives us a vision that's bigger. And Jesus says, I'm bigger than the problem. So we keep our vision inside. You know, I'm the pastor. Guess what? My desk is where everything good and everything bad stops. Right there. That's it. You know, they'll talk about what is needed here and how many $1,000s it's going to cost to do this. And you realize this church, we started the first service in this church in 1992. And how many of you realize that's several years ago? And how many of you realize that carpet wears out, pews wear out and break, audio equipment breaks, lighting equipment breaks, everything breaks, and air conditioning, heating. Hey, man, the list goes on. Restroom stuff breaks. Don't look at me like that. It does the same thing in your house. And they say, how many, tell me how many dollars? I say, well, so what? My God's a big God. If we just look at all of the problems, the vision can grow dim. Because I don't know where it's coming from. I don't have that kind of money, but God does. Hey, you see those can lights up there? Look up at those can lights. You see a bunch of them are out? You know why? Because you can't buy light bulbs to put in them anymore. They don't make them. They don't make that light fixture anymore. Look how many of them they are. Those are special back in 92, and they hooked all the lights hooked to a dimmer and they all work off of it. They don't do them that way anymore. In fact, we have got to replace the lights in this building because of the changes that has been within the light market. How many of you have gone to the store and trying to buy some lights for some of your fixtures and find out they don't make those lights anymore? And you have to scrounge around and find whatever fit. And some of them you can't find. You got to change the whole fixture. Anybody found that out? Several people raising their hand. Hey, look up there. To change each one of those out is $750. But the good thing about it is that each light itself individually, and now we have to dim the whole thing, is dimmable by each light is dimmable. And they're supposed to be good for how many years? 14. They're supposed to last for the light bulb, and they're supposed to last for 14 years. But now, that's $750, that's $225,000. Now, that's just for these down here that light the lower floor. That's not including the balcony yet. That's just the lower floor. $750 a piece. Choo, choo, choo. But guess what? The future's bright. We don't look at the problem, we look at what we can accomplish. All of us working together can accomplish this. And also, we can do it in sections. We can take a section at a time. Hello. But we have to have vision if we're going to proceed. If we just want to sit down and look at where we are now, we all going to be in the dark pretty soon and we're not going to have no vision. The truth. You can see the lights is out now. Because we don't have any to replace them with and we can't buy any. But guess what? As we replace these down here, we can take those lights that are still burning and we can keep them to help up there in the balcony. Vision. You got to have vision. You got to don't look at all the problems. Look at vision. What we can do. How many of you believe the future is bright for us? We had a lot of people. Then that building back there is getting built, isn't it? And we're within $400,000, almost $441,000 of reaching the goal. And some people didn't think it could be done. But we, you and me and all the rest of them had a vision for it. We were committed to it. And it's happening. We have to have this vision. You know, as if we're not careful, we look at all the problems and don't see the vision. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were committed to God. But I want to tell you what, they got in the furnace. They got in the fire. But the power of God brought them out of the fire. The power of God, if you'll follow your vision, the power of God will bring you through. Hello? Today, you and I, as Rhema Bible Church, we're at a crossroads. We can either be satisfied with where we are and what we have, and run around and singing, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory, isn't this great? And our vision grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and we grow darker and darker and darker until we're nothing. Or we can get committed to the future of Rhema Bible Church. Committed to the vision. Committed to doing what it takes to accomplish it. That means everything we have. Ourselves, our talents, our time, our money. Uh-oh. That's the one you don't want me to mention. But we've got to commit everything we have. Jesus committed everything he had, even his life, so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. You know, among us guys, there's a saying about that some people can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? We've all seen those guys. How many of you have seen some of those guys? But I'm going to tell you what, there's some of those guys that can talk the talk and they'll walk the walk, and you better get out of the way if you don't want to get walked on too. How many know what I'm talking about? Listen. Mr. Devil, we as Rhema Bible Church, we want Mr. Devil to know that we can talk the talk, but we also gonna walk the walk. How many are with me that the future is bright? If you're with me, stand up. The future is bright at Rhema Bible Church. You're committed to it. You're committed to talking the talk and walking the walk till this church becomes what it is supposed to be. We're committed to seeing all of these seats filled. Hallelujah. But it's going to take our time, our talents, and everything we've got. But we can do it. I believe. Say it with me. I believe that as we all join together with our vision, the future is bright. I, as a Rhema Bible Church member or attendee, I am committed to seeing the vision to it comes into full fruition. I believe that the future of Rhema Bible Church is bright. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God.